But say this after me. I thank you, Father, that your word has the power to change my life. Today, I give heed to it. I allow it to go into my ears, then into my mind, and then into my spirit. I'm a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. And I'll never be the same after today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm actually supposed to be teaching a different series right now. I'm supposed to be teaching on the vision of the church and going over Acts 2:41 through 47. That's kind of what we sort of planned out a couple months ago when we were planning the teaching schedule, just kind of praying and wanting to know what the Holy Spirit wanted us to say. But you know, as we went through the prayer requests, every morning at 7 o'clock, we're praying over these prayer requests, and each one of us gets a handful of cards, and we're praying over them. And I noticed that almost every card I had finances. Finances. We need finances. We need an increase in our finances. We need finances for this, finances for that. You know, please pray for us about our finances. And so I really sense the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to put that off, that series, and I want you to teach on increase. So last week, and I held up, how many of you remember last week the cards I held up? It was a stack this high. Over half of the cards that were turned in, there are a lot for marriage, a lot for healing, a lot for direction, but over half of the prayer requests that came in were for finances. And so I want to continue to talk about increase. We started in last week in, everybody say increase. Now we're not going to do it every time I say increase this time, okay? I thought that would be cool until we actually did it. And then I realized I can't handle this much distraction. So anyway, Psalm chapter 115, verse 14. May the Lord give you increase. Everybody say increase. Increase. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down in silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. The word increase in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word rabah, and it means basically to multiply. It means to take what you have and to multiply. And the Bible has a lot to say about increase in a lot of different areas. It talks about increasing our love, increasing our faith, even talks about increasing our sin. But here we want to talk about increase as it applies to the provision of God. Exodus chapter 1 verse 7 says that we're to be fruitful and we're to increase abundantly. I spent all of the message practically last Sunday just trying to make the case that God wants you to increase. God wants you to increase. He wants to increase you. He wants to increase what you have so you can be a blessing to others. We're going to see in a few moments that we're not to trust in money. We're not to trust in finances. We're not to trust in wealth or increase. But it's a tool that God can use to bless your family and to build the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 13 through 15 says that God will love you. This is a part of God's increase that a lot of people struggle with, is the love of God. God's love wants to increase in your life. God will bless you. God will multiply you. God will bless your children. Hold on just a second. I need to take a break. Please talk amongst yourselves for like 15 seconds. It was personal between me and my assistant. So. I love Job chapter 8, verse 7. Job chapter 8, verse 7 says, though your beginning is small, you will end up in increase. So it doesn't matter where you've been from. It doesn't matter how you started. This is the goal, that regardless of who you are, where you are in life, what side of the tracks you were born on, God will multiply you. And then we looked at Psalm chapter 85, verse 12, that says, my land will yield its increase. It says, your land will yield its increase. It's not that we're looking over at somebody else saying, wow, look how God's blessed them. Say, God's blessed me. Now say it like you actually think that's a possibility. God has blessed me. Say, my land, my land will increase. So now I want to begin our journey today by looking at Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and we're going to look at some things when it comes to increase that the Bible says about it, because I want to help you leave here with a perspective of what increase is and how increase works in your life. God wants to bless you. God is not trying to punish you. God is not your problem. God is not your answer. God does not put sickness and poverty and lack and death and depression and despondency and discouragement on people's lives. Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could be delivered from the curse and set free and walk in God's will and God's purpose and God's plan. Amen. And it takes provision to do that. And don't let anybody tell you that it doesn't. You know what? I don't really need anything. If you don't need anything, I'll take yours. And I don't mean that pridefully. I'm saying, God, I want God to use my life to build something. When somebody says, I have everything that I need, I don't need anything else from God, what they're saying is, I would just want to stay in this 2-foot by 2-foot cubicle the rest of my life and not affect anybody's life. Listen, I want to be a big giver. I want to be somebody that can bless somebody else's life. I want to be somebody that God can use to build the kingdom in a big way. And so you've got to increase in that. And there are a lot of different ways you can increase in love. You can increase in faith. Today, let's talk about increasing in His provision. Exodus chapter 23, verse 27. You got it? I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. This is God talking to the Israelites, saying, I'm going to drive out your enemies. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you. And wow, I could preach on that the whole message. God doesn't give you everything all at one time. Little by little, because He doesn't want what He gives you to become desolate. He wants you to use it, and he wants it to be a blessing at the time that He's dispersing it. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. See, this scripture says that God is going to deal with your enemies and drive your enemies away from you so that you can increase. Some people want God to deal with that. How many of you, anybody here have any enemies? Just me. Nobody else has any enemies. At work, somebody wants your position, somebody harassing you, you got any kind of difficulty you're dealing with at work. What about in your, none of you have enemies in your family? It's okay to say that. And the Bible says that God wants to drive out your enemies. God wants to deal with your enemies. But it doesn't say that He wants to do that to make your life easier. How you doing? So life is so much better now because now this person's out of my life. That person got fired. I got moved, whatever, and now life is so much easier. That's not why God wants to deal with your enemies. The Bible says God wants to deal with your enemies so you can increase. So you can come to increase. Psalm chapter 62, verse 10. What a great verse. Psalm chapter 62, verse 10. It says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. This is a real, real key for us as believers, is to have a proper perspective of what increase is and what increase is for. When riches increase, don't put your trust in them. We're not to put our trust in provision, in finances. Finances are simply a tool for your family to be blessed. Finances are simply a tool for the kingdom to be blessed. It's for you to be able to build what God's called you to build, but it's not something that we worship. In fact, I brought with me a hammer today. If you would hand me my hammer. This hammer, I'll tell you something. I love this hammer. This hammer, I have built so many things with this hammer. Me and every time I look at this hammer, I think about all the things that me and my sons have built together, and sometimes other people in the neighborhood have come and we've built different things, repaired different things on the house or whatever. And I love this hammer. A little bit worn, but I absolutely love this hammer. This is a great hammer. And now I've gotten to the point where this hammer simply sits up on a shelf and I just look. In fact, I have a whole collection of hammers. I've got a whole garage full of hammers, and I've got them hung on pegboard all around my garage. I must have several hundred, and they just hang there. And so, you want me to what? You want to use this hammer to build what? No. We're not going to use this hammer to build. This hammer is very precious to me, and so I'm just going to hold on to it. What do you mean? You want to use one of my hammers in my garage to it? No, you don't understand. This hammer is, I love this hammer. And you can't use it? No, we're not going to use this hammer to build your hammer. We're not going to use this hammer. We're not going to use any of my hammers. We'll use your hammer. We're not using mine. Because I love this hammer. How many of you have already realized how ridiculous this is? That's what we do with our money. God says, I want to use your money to build this. No, you can't use it for that. I love it. I'm going to hold on to it. I got a whole bank account full of money. I got a whole garage full of money. I got a whole house full of money. And no, you can't use it. Sometimes, and some of you are thinking, well, that's ridiculous. If I had a whole garage full of money, of course I would use it to build the kingdom. There's a kingdom principle that you must come to grips with, and that is that what you would do with a little is what you will do with a lot. I hear people talking about all the time, when my ship comes in, I'm going to do this. What are you doing with the ship you've got? With the boat you've got? Maybe all you've got is a canoe. What are you doing with it? Anybody getting this? So actually, I would use my, because the purpose of, anybody know what this is for? This is a tool. This is not to be worshipped. It's a tool. It's to build with. And that's what our finances are. The 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 says, God gives seed to the sower. Why does he give seed to the sower? First of all, because you're supposed to sow it, and it's supposed to yield a harvest. But also, God gives to the seed to the sower because that's how he builds his kingdom. Money's a tool to build with. You can build your life with it. Not on it, with it. You don't build your life on money. You build your life with finances. You can build the kingdom with it. You don't worship money, but realize that it is an important building tool. Let's talk about Proverbs chapter 14. Here's another principle that I want you to see about increase. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4 says, where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. What this means is, if you've got a clean stall and you don't have an ox, then if you don't have an ox, you got a clean stall. Isn't that great? For those of us who don't like poo, to quote my friend Mark Gunger, for those of us who don't like poo, how many of you don't like it when your dog messes in the house? I just want to, you know, it's Connie's dog. And if the dog has an accident in the house, I'm going, Connie, your dog has had an accident. Your dog has left you a present. And I'm not messing with it. I mean, I do. So you can have a clean stall. But if you got a clean stall, he's saying, but if you got a clean stall, you don't have an ox, which means you don't have increase. In order to experience the much increase, this says that much increase comes from the strength of an ox. So in order to experience the much increase referred to here, you'll have to deal with the poo of the world. So stop whining. If I hear one more person whine, oh, the people that I work with, they're ungodly, they don't go to church, they use bad language, they're crooked, they do this, they're mean to me. Why do you think you're there? If we take all of us out, Lord, I want to work with Christians, for Christians, for a Christian. Hey, thank God for Christian companies. Thank God for, hey, I'm all for Christian companies. But God places many. If all of us work for Christian companies, who's going to minister to the world? Wow, it's quiet in here. God has you there, number one, to influence others, but number two, to bring in the increase. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says that the wealth of the wicked will come into the righteous. But you got to be with them for God to increase you there. So stop whining. You don't like this, do you? I apologize. God's got you there for a purpose. So just, I don't like it anymore. I've worked for secular companies. I've had to listen to, I've worked for bosses that every other word was horrible. And no, I didn't like it. And I prayed, God, deliver me from this. And one day God said to me, why do you think I have you there? Why do you think I have you there? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. I want to talk about increase today. There is one who scatters and increases. Proverbs 11, I want you to turn to this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. There is one who scatters. Do you have it? Proverbs 11, 24. There is one who scatters and yet increases more. And there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. I want to finish the rest of this message talking about having a spirit of increase and creating an atmosphere of increase. You see, increase thrives in an environment of generosity. Healing thrives in an atmosphere of faith. If you don't have an atmosphere of faith, there's no healing that occurs. Marriage thrives in an atmosphere of love. If there's no love, the marriage is not going to thrive. Increase thrives in an environment of generosity, and if there is no generosity, increase will not thrive in your life. I mentioned Murphy a moment ago. Murphy's addicted to treats. She knows where the treats are. She knows which cabinet they are at. And she goes, if you come to our house, there are scratch marks this high on the door of the cabinet where the treats, she scratched all the paint off the door. Because that's where the treats are. And so she'll go to that cabinet and to that closet door, and she'll scratch and scratch and scratch, and she'll stop and look. And then she'll scratch and scratch and scratch. And for those of you that don't know, Connie's got a Yorkie. It's got a little Yorkie named Murphy. Would any of you like her? I had the insurance lady on the phone yesterday, and while I was trying to talk to her, Murphy started barking or something. I said, "Would you shut up?" And the insurance lady said, "Oh, I hear a little doggy there." And I said, "Would you like the doggy?" She said, "But I'm in Greenville." I said, "I'll drive to Greenville with this dog." She'll go to the cabinet, and she'll scratch the cabinet because she wants a treat. And we've got a box of treats. We bought a box of milk bones at BJ's. It, on the front, it says 325 plus milk bones in this box. And so I get the box out, and I mean, there's a lot of milk bones in there. And so I'll get a milk bone out, and she's dancing around. She can stand on her hind legs and dance around for 45 minutes waiting on a treat. She wants this treat. She's begging. So I give her the treat, and she runs into the living room and hunkers down on the rug. And I've got this game that I love to play with her, because I'll walk over to her and I'll say, "Murph, can I have a bite, just a little bite?" She'll pick that bone up and run into the bedroom. Am I telling the truth? And so I go in the bedroom, and there she is. And sometimes I'll get down on all fours, and I'll creep up to her, and I'll say, "Can I have a bite, just a little bite?" And she'll pick that bone up and run over to the other side of the bedroom. And if I corner her, she'll slink under the bed and run back into the house with it. All I'm asking for her for is a little bite. And you know what? An hour later, she's back. Scratching at the door, wanting a bone. And I say, "No, ma'am, you're not getting another bone. No, you wouldn't share your bone with me. You're not getting another bone." The sad thing is, Murphy is too dumb to understand why she can't have another bone. She doesn't understand that. But we have the same issue with God. God blesses us. God pours his blessings on us. God's blessed our businesses, our homes, our households. And then God says, "Can I have a bite?" And we grab it and we run into the other room with it. Like he can't see. We're hunkered over what we have. I'm asking for 10%. I gave you all this, and God's got a great big box of milk bones up there. 325 plus milk bones. He can give us all the milk bones we could possibly eat. All he's asking is for 10%, just a pinch off of the milk bone we have. No, it's mine. And so we hunker over it and we try to hide it and we move around with it. But then when we have another need, we're back. Come on, somebody. We're back. God, I thought you were going to meet my needs. Increase thrives in an environment of generosity. It thrives in an environment where when God asks for it, we give it. Everything I have, God belongs. I know I've said this before, but I remember when Connie and I had nothing. We had nothing. Three kids trying to feed them, trying to know what it's like to go through the couch, trying to find change to buy milk and bread, going through the car seats. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to stop at the service station and buy $1 worth of gas. So I could, one time, the guy that lived near where I would stop and get gasoline all the time, one day I went in there and he just point blank asked me, he said, "Where is it you go every day that you only need $1 worth of gasoline?" And I was too embarrassed to tell him that's all I had. It was enough to get me to work and back, and then try to scrounge up another dollar for it. Listen, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to increase. And there was a time when we would pray. Those days, we knew that our way out was tithing and sowing. And we would tithe on everything. Some weeks our tithe would be $2. Some weeks our tithe would be $10. And then we'd give an offering. I mean, for us to give a $2 offering, a $4 offering was huge. And we'd stand there and we'd cry and we'd say, "God, everything we have is yours." And then we started to increase because of our faith and because of our seed. And God started to bless us. And then God started to bless us more. And then God started to bless us more. And then our tithes started getting to be larger. And our offerings started to stay the same. And our tithe would be larger and our offerings would stay the same. But our tithe would get larger and our offerings would stay the same. And we stopped praying those prayers. "God, everything we have is yours," because everything we had was a lot more. It's easy to say, "God, everything I have is yours," when you don't have anything. But when God's blessed you and increased you, I remember those days we gave a car to our neighbors down the street. The one that ran. It's easy when you don't have anything to say, "God, everything we have is yours," because you see that's your way out. But now that you have nice cars and we have a nice home and now that we have a nice retirement account and now things are beginning to look good and now we're able to wear nice shoes and nice clothes and everything's beginning to increase, we stop praying those prayers. We stop standing in the presence of God with tears streaming down our face saying, "God, everything we have is yours," because now the stakes are higher. And now what we have, when God asks for it, looks completely different. Y'all okay? I'm confessing something over our church. No Murphy Christians. It's okay to be Murphy and be a dog, but it's not okay to be Murphy and be a Christian. Everything we have is His, and everything we have comes from God. Can you say amen? I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 25. I want to give credit to where credit was due. Yesterday, at the men's breakfast, Dr. Alan Young spoke, and he delivered one of the most powerful messages I've ever heard out of this scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 25. It was a phenomenal message. He talked about it from the standpoint of husbands relating to their wives, but I want to talk to you today about the heart of Nabal. Let me just paraphrase this for you. There was a man, 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 2. There was a man whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful. In other words, she was good looking and smart. Any of you have a wife like that? But the man was harsh and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And when David heard, I know I said I was going to tell this, but I can read it as fast as I can tell it. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel to Nabal and greet him in my name. Now, Nabal is rich, and he's shearing the sheep, and during sheep shearing, there's a tongue twister, sheep shearing time was always a feast time, and so they're having a big feast during the time that they shear the sheep. And David said, me and my men here in the out here in the hills, we're hungry. And so we've been real good to Nabal, and his guys have been out here keeping the sheep, and we protected him and be good to him. So go down there and ask Nabal if maybe he would share some of his food with us. So the 10 men go down there, talk to Nabal, say, hey, David, your servant is in the hills, and he is humbly asking if you would share your food with him. After all, we protected your shepherds. We protected your sheep that have been out here in the fields. And Nabal, who was rich, as I said, was stingy. And Nabal said, who does David think he is? Just because he's the son of Jesse, just because he's a national hero, who does he think he is that he can send you in here just to walk into my camp and ask me for my stuff? No, I'm not giving him anything. This is mine. So the guys went back and reported to David what Nabal had said. So that made David angry. David said, I can't believe I've been so good to this guy. I've protected his flocks, protected his shepherds, and now he treats me like this. Guys, grab your weapons. We're going to go over there and wipe him out. Abigail, his wife, was not there present during that conversation, and then Nabal's servants were afraid of what might happen, so they told Abigail, Nabal's wife, what happened. And so Abigail shook her head. What's wrong with my husband? And she gathered up all kinds of food and meat and drink and everything, put them on donkeys, and here comes David with his men, and he's going to wipe out Nabal for his ungratefulness. And Abigail meets him there and says, my Lord, please put the sin of my husband on me. I'll take responsibility for it. And I love verse 25. She says, please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. The word Nabal means fool. Please excuse my husband. My husband's stupid. And I've brought you all this stuff. Please put his sin upon me and please forgive me. In fact, yeah, in verse 28, she says, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. She's actually standing in the gap and saying, please just put the whole fault of this all on me. And don't blame him because of his stinginess and lack of generosity. If it wasn't for his wife, stinginess would have destroyed him. Take a deep breath, please. I see this happen in Christian families all the time. That there's one spouse who is stingy and holds the purse strings, and that there's another spouse who's generous, and the one spouse, and here it talks about husbands and wives, but it can be either one. There's some stingy women out there. You're smart, not raising your hands. You're smart. And your spouse is the one that's keeping the curse off of your family by what little they're giving. They're going to God and saying, God, please forgive the foolishness of my spouse. I'm standing in the gap, and here, this is what I've got. I know they have almost everything, but please take what I've got. And they're keeping destruction away from their families. Just think. Of the increase that could happen in a family where the husband and wife are together. The Bible says that there's no greater bond, no greater spiritual bond and faith bond than a husband and wife together. And imagine a husband and wife who stand in faith together, who are both generous. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good now. Y'all are awfully quiet. Who are both generous. Who are both tithers, who are both givers, who both seek the Lord, who both listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and both give as the Holy Spirit leads them to give and are obedient to God. Imagine the increase in that household because of the generosity of that family. Can anybody increase it? Can you close your eyes and just envision that? Stinginess will destroy you. It'll destroy your increase. It'll destroy your family. And it'll destroy the increase that God is trying to get to your family. Stinginess will destroy it. Because increase thrives in an environment of what? Couldn't hear you. What would you say?
Generosity.
Increase thrives in an environment of generosity. Marriage thrives in an environment of love. Healing thrives in an environment of faith. Without faith, there is no healing. Without love, there is no strong marriage. And without generosity, there is no increase. And we live in a world today that says, hold on to everything that you can. Grip it as tight as you can. Everything in the kingdom of God is backward, and I love it. The way to up is down. If you want to be advanced in the kingdom of God, then you've got to become humble. And the Bible says if you want to increase, then you need to be generous. Everybody shout, I am generous.
I am generous.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the spirit of stinginess in our lives. And I confess, there have been times that I've been stingy. There have been times that you've wanted to move in my heart, move in my life, and I just held on. And I ask you to forgive me for that. Because I want to thrive in an environment of increase. And that comes in an environment of generosity. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 10. I love this scripture. You learning anything today?
Yes.
Zechariah chapter 10 verse 7. Those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. Can anybody in here whistle? I mean, you know, one of those whistles where you're trying to... Can you? I mean, one of those where you're trying to get somebody's attention. Will you do it for us? Like that. When you're trying to get, now ladies, I don't expect you to turn your heads when that happens. But I was out hunting with a guy one time. We were both, this was when you could, in Virginia where you could hunt down on the ground. You didn't have to be in a tree stand. And so we're both behind this log at this, we've already scouted this place out. And here comes a deer, kind of, you know, you like to shoot at a, you don't want to shoot at a deer on a run. You want it to stop. And here comes this deer trotting through the woods. And so it's just trying, it looks like it's going to pass right by us. And so the guy looks at me. This was Larry Carlton. And Larry looked at me and he said, watch this. And he did that. Do it again. He did that, and the deer stopped in its tracks and turned and looked at us. And he shot it. I shouldn't have told you that part. I've completely messed my illustration up. I don't know where I'm going now. But this says that when God whistles, I love this, it says, I will whistle for them and gather them and redeem them and they will increase. When God whistles, it's to get our attention. And God's been trying to get our attention, some of us, for a long time. He's trying to get us our attention about increase because he wants all of us to increase. God wants to build your family. God wants to build your household. We've got to get rid of the spirit of stinginess that says it's mine, hunkered over on a piece of carpet with a bone, not realizing that there's a whole box with 325 bones in it. If we're generous, God's going to bless us. The generous soul, the Bible says, the generous soul will be made rich. So how many of you will join me in changing our heart and changing our attitude about what God asked for? God's whistling at us. God's whistling at you today. He's trying to get your attention. Would you do that one more time? That was God trying to get your attention. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get my attention. He's trying to get our attention and say, I want to increase you. But the way that we increase is how? Generosity, having a generous heart, being open. Last week we looked at Mark chapter 4, verse 14. and verse 20. I'm almost finished here. Mark chapter 4. Jesus tells the parable of the sower about the seed that falls on the four different types of ground. And the disciples said, "We don't understand the parable." And Jesus said, "The sower sows the word." And then verse 20. The seed that's sowed on good ground, those are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. So I want to encourage you to be open to hearing the word when it comes to finances. We come to church, and when Pastor Steve or any of the other ministers, when they talk about, "Today I want to talk about love," then we open our heart to that. We were talking about love. It's so wonderful. "I want to talk about how God wants to bless you." We open our heart. "Oh, thank you, God. You want to bless me. I want to hear that." We want to talk about how Jesus died on the cross for you and took the curse off your life. We open our heart, and it's great. And then today I want to talk to you about finances. Clunk. This is amazing. Today we're going to talk about, and the Bible talks about money. There are hundreds of scriptures about money. And people want to go to a church where we talk about love, we talk about God blessing, we talk about Jesus, what Jesus does for us. But then when somebody says, "Okay, we're going to talk about finances and increase today," clunk. But the Bible says that the good ground, the ones who increased 30, 60, and 100 fold are the ones that the word was sown onto good ground. In other words, they accepted it. "Oh, we're going to talk about finance today. We're going to talk about increase. I want to receive that." Everybody do this. See how easy it was to open your heart to this word? And now we're open. Don't close off the word of God today. So, did you get anything out of this word? This is what I want to share with you. This is it. This is the word of God to us today, is that increase flourishes in us when we have a spirit of generosity and an environment of generosity. Everybody stand with me, please. Say this after me. God's plan for me is increase. To be fruitful. To be blessed, to be multiplied. God even wants to bless my children. Even though my beginning was small, I will end up in increase. My land will yield its increase. I want you to shout that. My land will yield its increase. God drives the enemy out of my life so that I can increase. I don't put my trust in increase. Increase is a tool for me to build my household and for me to build the kingdom of God. Where there is no ox, the stall is clean. But there's plenty of poo in my life to deal with. And I'm going to stop whining. And I'm going to increase wherever God puts me. I increase. I increase. I live in increase. My response to God is to be generous, and I live in increase. Amen. Who can say amen to that? Amen. I know I've talked about finances today, and I want to thank you for doing this. You know, not at every church can you talk about money. There's sometimes when you talk about money, people just close off. I don't even want to go to that church. Thank you for, you know, there are cheaper churches to go to. There are. I mean, we have a free yard sale. A free yard sale. We're not trying to raise money for the building fund. You're going to tithe and give, and you're going to support the building fund. We want to bless the community. We blessed families last week. I mean, we are a church that wants to bless others. But it takes generous people to do that. So I want to thank you for being generous people, and thank you for letting me obey the Holy Spirit and teach on this. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being such a great church. But I want to talk with you, I want to shift gears and talk to you today about your eternal destiny. We're going to spend eternity. You know, you can have all the money in the world. You can put $1 million in the offering plate today at church, but it will not buy your relationship with God. It will not buy your salvation. You can't go to heaven just on the money that you give. God loves you. God loves every person here, and God has a plan for your life. Because of sin, every person in here was separated from God. All of us were. Jesus Christ came and paid the price for your sin with his death on the cross. And he took the curse for you on the cross so that you could be free to fulfill your purpose and your destiny in this life and to spend eternity with him. What you need to do is accept his death for you on the cross. Accept that the Holy Spirit wants to come and live on the inside of you and empower you to be the Christian that the Bible promises you that you can be. And you can do that right there where you're standing. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, repenting for your sins, acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord of your life, and asking the Holy Spirit to come in and empower you to be that Christian that the Bible promises you that you can be. You can do that right there where you're standing. Would you please bow your heads with me? Close your eyes for just a moment. Maybe you've never heard a message like this before. Maybe you've never even been to church before. But today is your day. The Holy Spirit's drawing you. And I don't want you to be embarrassed about this, because every single person in this building who's a Christian has done what you're about to do right now. We've all done this. This is not an embarrassing thing. This is something to rejoice over. Make the decision today. Make the decision today. Maybe you've never been to church before and never heard a message like this before and never made a decision to follow Christ before. Or maybe you've fallen away from the Lord, and if you went into eternity today, you don't know what would happen to you. Today's your day. The Holy Spirit's drawing you into the kingdom of God, and today's your day to make that decision to follow Christ and become a disciple of his. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, everybody that wants to pray this prayer with me and everybody that wants to make a decision to follow Christ, I want you to raise your hand real high right there where you're standing, and I'm going to pray this prayer with you right there where you are. Raise your hand now. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. I see your hand right there. Who else would raise your hand and say, I want to make a decision to follow Christ today? I see your hand right back here. Who else would raise your hand? Anyone else? Anyone else? I want to make a decision to follow Christ. Join the ones who have already raised their hands and make a decision today. Don't leave here without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. We've got several people that raised their hands this morning that want to make decisions to follow Christ. So I'm going to pray this prayer with you. We're all actually going to pray this prayer with you together, because you're about to become our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let's all bow our heads and let's all pray this prayer with them together. Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you willingly came and you paid the price for my sin with your death on the cross, so that I can be free to serve you, free to fulfill my destiny in you, and free to spend eternity with you. So I repent for my sins. And I say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, come and live on the inside of me now. Empower me to be the Christian that the Bible promises me I can be. As I come to church and I get involved in church life, my life will never be the same after this moment. In Jesus' name. And the people of God shouted amen. Amen. Let's give a big hand for all those who made decisions to follow Christ today. Amen. We are so proud of each one of you.